Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call of NGL Fincom Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. We represent investor relations for NGL Fincom Limited. On behalf of NGL Fincom, I welcome you all to our Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call. I have with me from the management, Mr. Rahul Nachane, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Lawande, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Ms. Pallavi Pernekar, Company Secretary. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, followed by the Q&A session. Please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results or projections to differ materially from these statements. NGL Fincom Limited will not be in any way responsible for any action taken based on such statements and undertakes no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Nachane for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishabh. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us on this call. Let me take you through the performance of our company and strategy going ahead. This year, we continue to witness steady growth while we face several pressures on the cost front. Strong volume demand sustained throughout the year as we witnessed increasing penetration of our major products in all present markets. We recorded a consolidated revenue growth of 17% year-on-year for quarter 4 FY 2022 and 23% for year FY 2022. Our veterinary API business, which is our primary segment, reported robust growth of 13% year-on-year in quarter 4 and 26% for the full year. Global macro and geopolitical factors continue to push costs to new highs, directly impacting our business in the way of raw material prices, freight and fuel, which inversely affected product supply and margins. Costs are expected to remain elevated in the near term as the situation remains uncertain. We expect price to normalize in the latter part of the year. For Q4 FY22, consolidated EBITDA stood at 11 crores, with a margin of 12.6%. Profit after tax for the quarter was 7 crores with a margin of 8%. For the full year, consolidated EBITDA stood at 68 crores with a margin of 21.4% and profit after tax stood at 50 crores with a margin of 15.7%. We continue to see good market traction for all major product categories. While we gain market share in our up-and-coming products, top 3 products contributed 44%, top 5 50% and top 10 72% of our revenues for the year. We additionally widened our customer base this year, with top 3 customers now contributing to 13%, top 5 customers to 20% of turnover and top 10% to 33% of turnover. We have 5 molecules in pipeline at this time, each having more than 5 step synthesis manufacturing processes. These products are highly accretive and will help enhance margins going ahead. We aim to launch 3 or 4 new products each year. Our poultry molecule has witnessed very strong market acceptance as we sold about 6 tons this year in FY22, and we expect to see good volumes in the next year. Lastly, coming to our growth outlook, on our ongoing initiatives, we have completed the Macrotech brownfield expansion in the last quarter. Validation batches are ongoing and we expect to commercialize from the current quarter. On our plans to increase outsourced production, we have attained about 10% outsourced production as of now, and we should hit our target of 15% by the end of FY23. These measures, along with continuous debottlenecking and process improvements, will help drive near-term growth. Our planned greenfield expansion at Tarapur is also on course. We have started civil construction in the month of December, and work is progressing well. The estimated capex for this project has been revised to 140 crores, which will bring a 50% capacity addition and will be funded through a mix of debt and internal accruals. We expect complete construction and start production in FY24. We are well positioned today to tap into the vast opportunities in the sector with the robust balance sheet and net debt-free we are positioned. We are focused to continue investing and maintaining our market position by remaining cost competitive, reliable, and offer high quality solutions for all our customers. This is from my side. We can now open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, with regards to gross margins compared to the previous quarter lows of 48%, we are back around upwards of 50%. Our gross margins have actually moved up by 2%, whereas the EBITDA margins are impacted because of other expenses and employee costs being higher as a percentage of sales. So, coming to the question part, sir, one is you had mentioned in the previous call that the input prices, which had gone up and had a peak in October, November, post that they were seeing, the trend was seen to the prices were stabilizing and going southwards. So how do we look at the input prices now compared to what we had spoken in the previous call and the prices in October, November? And what is the trend going at?
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Mr. Jain.
Sure.
So, I had mentioned earlier, prices had peaked towards the latter part of last year and they had started coming down. And Jan-Feb was actually, Jan was actually a good month where prices came down. But then, unfortunately, we had the war coming up. And that has the war between Russia and Ukraine. And that has increased prices of commodities, oil and metals in a significant way now. So oil is almost at double the price what it was 3 months ago. And this has impacted the cost of all chemicals once again. So prices are once again shot up. And we don't see them coming down until this global situation settles down a little bit. So probably it might last for maybe another 2 quarters going forward.
Okay, sure. And sir, with regard to Tarapur CAPEX, in the previous quarter, you had mentioned the CAPEX being 100 crores and you were working on the numbers again with regards to, you know, the inflationary part. And you had mentioned that the project cost could go up by around 10%. But what we see in the current presentation, we have mentioned the Tarapur CAPEX at 140 crores. So just to understand how much of this could be due to inflation and how much of it this could be due to some new additions. And also with regards to now this 140 crores, what kind of asset turn should we build up for Tarapur?
The situation, you know, which existed in January and what exists today is very different. I am sure you'll be aware that steel prices, for example, Mani steel has gone up from about 30-35 rupees a kilo. It's currently at almost about 75 rupees a kilo. So it's doubled in the last in these last 3 months. Same is with regard to copper. And building a plant, basically it's, we require stainless steel, we require copper because that goes into all the motors which are bought and the condensers. So that has given a sharp increase in the CAPEX for the plant which we have got right now, which is being undertaken. What impact it will have on the capital output ratio is something which I am really uncertain about. But in the long run, it will play out. We cannot hold our plan just because of some global, you know, factors which are going wrong right now. I'm sure things will settle down as we go forward towards the end of this year, and things should be much better. economically.
Sure. And sir, with regards to your five new molecules in the pipeline, and you also mentioned in your initial remarks that some of these products have more than five steps synthesis. So, and your presentation also talked about the new products being margin-accretive products. So two parts, when do we expect the commercial supplies to start for these five products? Secondly, what kind of margin differentials do these products have, and what kind of size these products can be?
To launch a pharma product here, it takes close to between a year to 2 years for products to get properly stabilized. We have to give samples to customers. They will carry out validation batches. Then they will carry out shelf life studies. So for it to start converting into sales takes a little time. So these are, products which will essentially start generating large turnover for us over a period of between 12 and 24 months. These are all multi-step products, so they are with similar EBITDA margins as the products we are currently doing. Of course, there is an impact on current pricing because of high commodity prices, but as and when it corrects, it should settle down. We are focusing right now more on market acquisition. The idea being that when macroeconomic factors will improve, margins will return back to earlier levels.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in queue in case of further questions. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you share the whole year volume growth? How much was that? And also, what was the volume growth in Q4?
Sure. Just give me a second. Yeah, volume growth in APIs last year was about 6%, and 23% was the growth in value.
Okay. This is last whole year.
This is for the last whole year, yeah.
Okay. And sir, secondly, on the expansion, the greenfield expansion that we are doing, so after this first round of expansion with 50% capacity enhancement, what kind of scope will be left on that plant for any future CapEx?
I did not understand the question clearly.
The greenfield expansion that we are doing, so the 50% capacity enhancement that we'll be doing, will there be scope for us to expand more on that piece of land, or this is the maximum potential from that project?
No, that particular project will be maxed out.
This will be the entire thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, and the other expenses, the higher other expenses, apart from freight and energy, is there any other part to that expense?
Yeah, maintenance cost has also gone up because metal cost prices have gone up, so spares are prices have gone up. So that's another area where cost increases taken place.
Okay. So will you be able to quantify there the one-offs that you were mentioning, how much would that be in value terms?
Our maintenance cost is up by almost 1% in the last quarter.
Sorry, 1%.
1% in the last quarter, yeah. It's meaning from about 2% of sales, it's gone to 3% of sales.
Acha, okay, got it. So other than that, you see going forward this other expenses to normalize, or we do see some impact in coming quarters as well?
I think this will continue for probably for at least a couple of more quarters before it starts regularizing. We have to wait for the global economic situation to settle down.
Okay. So basically, if we compare quarter and quarter, I think last quarter our other expenses were 20-21% odd, and this time around it's 28%. And the freight and all those issues have been there for last 2-3 quarters, at least for this entire year. So that is why with this 1%, is there anything else also that we should be looking at?
Gas has gone up. Our fuel cost, which used to be only 1% of sales, is now 2.5% of sales.
Okay. So I think then 27%-28% kind of other expenses you are expecting to continue then.
Yeah, and this is all driven by the high commodity prices, oil prices, right now, metal prices. Earlier also when
that was some part of your
kind of between 6 to 9 months. So I think we can be optimistic that it will start settling around mid of this year.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Sharedalal from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is for the brownfield expansion that we have almost completed in Macrotech. So it's a 26 crore kind of a brownfield expansion that we did. So what sort of a revenue and margin do we expect from this brownfield expansion? That would be my first question. Yeah.
Typically, in this industry, we have a capital output ratio of about, it used to be about 2, but with the increased costs which are prevailing now, it should be in the range of 1.5-1.75. So we expect this to give us additional, manufacturing capacity equivalent to roughly about 40-50 crores worth of sales.
Okay. And what sort of a margin do we expect?
Margin comes from our standard product, so it is not, it's the same margin which will continue for the company as a whole.
And would we kind of see the impact in quarter two or quarter three of this year itself in terms of revenue or?
Yes. Yes. We should start seeing the impact within this year.
Okay. And one more question on the greenfield CapEx of, so now it is 140 crore, but assuming that there was no war and no elevated cost on a CapEx of 100 crores, what kind of an effect were you expecting, assuming that the macro situation is normalized?
On 100 crores, we would have expected about 200 crores worth of sales.
Okay. And just a small question, if I can squeeze in. So we are, doing this outsourcing, and we have almost done 10%, and we are moving towards a 15% kind of a number. So any cost savings that if you can quantify for us?
Any cost what?
Any cost savings that you can quantify for us if we are moving towards this outsourcing of production?
Oh, no. Outsourcing actually is a more expensive way of doing things. So there is no cost saving over there. It just becomes that you can, we can generate more sales being asset light. So today, we have been able to double our sales, if you come and see, in about 2 years' time. We were at, in FY20, we were at about 150 crores. Today, we are at 300 plus crores. And there really has not been such big investment in plant and machinery which has taken place. So it is just an asset-light model of ensuring that we are able to grow sales.
Okay. Okay. And, I actually wanted to understand, so the largest product that we produce, even companies like Sequent Scientific are also there in the product. It is just that they are selling it in the regulated market. So what kind of risks do you see if those companies, start entering unregulated market also where we are serving?
It is difficult for a company which is doing reg work to come into unreg markets. Their cost structures will not permit it.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
yes, you are.
Thank you. So, sir, I just wanted to understand on the input price rise that is happening. So, have we been taking price increase or are we sticking with our old strategy of, gaining market share while taking short-term pain?
No, we have to pass on price increases to customers. We cannot just sit on this because it would obviously be very detrimental to business. But there is a time lag of almost 1.5 quarters by the time we can start passing on. Because normally we have orders, for example, currently we are holding orders which are valid till July. So probably from the bookings which we started doing last month, we have started passing on the price increases. But there is a lot of resistance in the market. We are selling to pharma companies. The pharma companies are in the end selling to farmers. And a farmer has to make, his enterprise has to be profitable for him, otherwise it does not work out. And unless he can translate it into higher products prices for his products in the market, he is going to resist. So there is a pushback which comes. So it doesn't, price increases are not so easily passed on.
Right. All right. Also, sir, given our capabilities, our high market share in a few products, is there a CDMO kind of an opportunity that lies ahead for our company, which has seen a massive, rise in top line and we have proven production capabilities? There are players like Sequent out there who are doing CDMO kind of business. So is there an opportunity for NGM going ahead in the veterinary?
It's not something which you have explored, so I am unable to comment on that.
All right. No worries, sir. And, my last question is on volume growth that we are looking at in FY23 and how is the demand looking for our products?
Difficult to expect what volume growth will be because there is a pushback with regard to pricing going on right now. We are trying to pass on the increased price levels. So customers are holding back a little bit of their demand. So it's still too early for us to judge what will happen in the current year.
But are we sure that there is no inventory built up that is happening in the channel?
So our inventory built up is normally in terms of work in process. Finished goods inventory, we cannot afford to let it build up. Because our products have a finite shelf life. And we commit to our customers that we will ship out products which are not more than 3 months old. So our inventory is always in the N-1, N-2 stage.
Thank you. I would request Ms. Agarwal to rejoin the queue for follow-up question. We would also request participants to limit your question to 2 at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. One question that I have is that, in the call before this one, we had spoken of that, the logistics costs which have gone up should be more like a pass-through from here on. So has that kind of, have we implemented that part of?
I did not understand what the question was.
So logistics costs have gone up. Logistic costs have gone up significantly is what you have mentioned. My only question is that, we decided that we would, logistics would from here on be even FOB basis of sale. So, and the customer would be paying for the logistics. There will be a complete pass-through. Are we not there yet? Have we not implemented that as policy as of now?
Yeah, so some part has been converted into FOB business. There's still a large part which goes on CIF. And as I said, this increased price has to be passed on to customers. So we pass it on. So we tell them customers that the FOB price is so and so. Whatever will be the logistical cost will be passed on to them completely. So yes, we are able to pass it on for quite a few customers now.
So let's say for 80% of the sales, we are able to pass on any increase or decrease in logistics. Is that
I am unable to give you a percentage offhand. But yes, for some part of our sales, we have been able to pass it on.
So the other question that I have is that, of course, you know, with this kind of price increases and the customers would be pushing us back on the price. But at the same time, if you look at competitiveness, that should not have, you know, it's an increase that happens for almost all our competitors too, right?
Yes, it does.
So at some point of time, despite the increase in prices, there should be a normalization of everything, like margins going back to the previous level.
Yeah, what you're saying is right, yes.
And should we expect that, like, you know, in a quarter or two to happen?
That is precisely the problem right now. We are unable to gauge because just when prices were stabilizing and normalizing, we have seen again things go up with the Russia-Ukraine war. So oil has gone up. When oil goes up, transportation cost goes up. So whatever normalization we had seen has just been, you know, there's been an upheaval in that and it's been disturbed. So I am unable to tell you or even guess, you know, when this would normalize. But cycles work in price cycles are more like a 6 to 9 month cycle. So hopefully towards the end of this month, we should see it settling down.
Oh, that sounds good. Last question from my end.
Mr. Jain, may I request you to come back in queue for follow-up question? There are several others waiting for their turn as well.
Sure, I am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanam Deep from Edgewise Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, how you see the company's balance situation? Mean to say, we are going under CapEx, and the company's receivables are at all-time high, inventories at all-time high, and the RM costs, we won't see any kind of, mean to say, relief in RM prices in short to medium term. So how you see the company's present situation?
Overall, the situation is actually very promising. We see that our presence in the market is going up. We are gaining market share very well in the market. Products are now well accepted. Sales growth is strong. Margins in the short term have been impacted, no question about it, and will continue to be impacted because of what we see happening around us. But there is no change in the long-term situation. We are very optimistic about where we will be going from here right now.
Analyze the company's last 10 years. So there is the only one problem we can find that this is the pricing power. And I can't recall it correctly, but in one con call, can't recall it in second quarter last year or in second last year, I don't recall it correctly. But in some con call, you said that if prices of raw material has risen by 50%-60%, then we can still can't pass on the prices to the customers. So is it so at present, is it so?
There is a resistance in the market, meaning we are in a B2B business, we are not in a B2C business where it's relatively easier to pass on price increases. So there is a pushback. It is not so easy to pass on price increases.
Okay, so this thing will remain intact in future also?
Yes, it's the nature of the industry.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is with regards to the numbers over the last two, three quarters if we compare. Now, we did roughly the same top line in the March quarter versus the September quarter. So while the gross profit has been down by 3% so compared to September, there is a sharp increase in the other expenses, which is impacting our EBITDA margin. So could you quantify the other expenses increase in more detail? Like you mentioned, your fuel cost will come from 2% to 3%, maintenance cost from 1% to 2%. So which are the other costs which is giving us such a sharp spike and impacting the EBITDA margin? That's my first question. And yeah, so just to add with it, so is there a simultaneous fall in a sharp fall in the realization as well? Yeah. Hello.
Well, just earlier in the call, I did, give the numbers for fuel, transport, which is freight, repair costs and employee costs. So these are the four items which are the main cost drivers.
So employee cost is broadly remained same at 11.5% of sales. Is it freight which has gone up like the biggest component of your other expense increase? So trying to understand that once the thing normalizes, would we see an addition of 3 to 4% on the EBITDA? Is it correct?
Definitely.
That's the bare minimum you see.
Yeah, yeah. And mainly it is the material cost. I mean, we should see if the prices, chemical prices start coming down, we should see that coming down quite a bit. Right now we are paying crazy prices for chemicals.
Okay.
Be 28 or 30 rupees a kilo is right now at 65 rupees a kilo. So,
yeah,
it's really terrible, crazy prices going on.
Correct. And so secondly, as we see in other companies, similar to your business, not exactly the same, but like somewhat similar, they are doing a lot of backward integration, all fueled by these volatility in the sourcing, volume, plus the price increase and etc. At your size, is it feasible to do backward integration or would you wait for larger volume offtake, larger volume size of your company and then do it?
No, we are fairly backward integrated because we do almost 5 to 7 steps for most of our products. So that's a fair amount of backward integration at our end.
Okay, so it is the feedstock which is impacting feedstock and solvent, like the very base chemical which is impacting you a lot right now.
Yeah. And Microtech expansion is to backward integrate only, no? We're increasing the intermediate capacity within the group.
Correct. So what sort of volume growth would you see for next 3-year period?
For which period?
Over the next 3-year period, so what sort of volume growth, so FY20 if you're at 100, what sort of volume growth would you see over the next 3-year period?
Normally, we don't give forward-looking numbers, so I would like to refrain from answering that question.
But would you maintain your historical average?
Yeah, we are fairly confident about that, yeah. Meaning, 1-2 quarters here and there might go up and down because of, these price increases and this and that. But the long-term story is very intact and still very strong.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much, sir. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mhavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Mhavla. Your audio is very low. The volume is
low. Is it better now?
Yes, this is better. You may go ahead now.
Sure. So I just wanted to understand, you mentioned earlier in the call that for full year FY22, we have a value growth or rather realization growth of almost 23%. Just wanted to understand if you can give us a corresponding number of what has been the increase in cost, so or how much is the unabsorbed cost right now that we've not been able to pass on.
I have not really understood the question, I'm sorry.
I'm saying if we've increased our prices by about 23%, which is what you said has been the realization growth for FY22, just wanted to understand the corresponding increase in costs during the year. Raw material costs have gone up, but how much we have not been able to pass on?
Well, the amount we have not been able to pass on is the net decrease in the margins, so roughly about 10%.
Okay, sure. And the Tarapur capex will come on stream by H1 of 24, or are we seeing a delay there?
No, that is scheduled for completion around September 24. Sorry, September 23.
September 23. Okay. And the raw material, the feedstock, solvents, etc., where are these sourced from? Domestically, China, or somewhere else?
Raw materials, our import component is roughly 15%. The rest is all domestic.
Sure. And just one last question. Since we supply largely to unregulated markets, do we have supplies going to Russia, Ukraine, which may currently be impacted?
No, we don't have any significant sales to Russia. But we are selling to some European companies who are in turn selling to Russia, so their demand has been impacted.
Would it be in low single digits?
Technically, by us, there is a little bit of indirect impact, yeah.
Okay, which would be a couple of 2-4%-ish.
I am unable to determine because I don't know exactly which kind of customers are selling into Russia, Ukraine, or what their quantum is. That is something which they don't disclose to us. So we are unable to find out what impact it will have on us. But we really don't think it's going to be significant. And anyway, the sales in the rest of the markets are growing very well right now.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so hi. Thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So there are two questions. The first being that, you know, when we spoke last year around the same time, you mentioned the margin guidance between 18-25% and the aspiration was to be in the higher end of the band. Of course, given the year we've closed at 21-22%, I've heard you through the call speak about, you know, the conversation where, you know, the prices move in a 6-9 month range. Given where we are sitting today and you have the macro tech expansion also, which will start to aid margins. Do you think we will be able to be in the same band with the aspiration to be the higher end, or given where the input prices are, you think we'll be again somewhere where we ended this full year in that range?
No, I expect the another 2 quarters to be challenging in terms both of margins because of the prices which we are looking at, and also in terms of pushing sales because of the kind of resistance we are getting in the market right now for increased prices. So everybody is playing a little wait and watch. So having said that, it's just going to be temporary because customers, even when they adjust their demand, they adjust it for a short period and then they need to come back because they need to output product in the market. So there is a time lag which for this when it happens, which is anything from something like 2 to 6 months. But having said that, once, you know, things start settling down a little bit more, we should see strong growth coming back.
Noted, sir. And sir, you mentioned on call that, you know, your acceptance in the market is growing, and clearly even in a tough environment, you're able to grow volumes. So could you speak about what is aiding this shift? Where are you taking market share from? What is aiding, customers to move to you? If you could expand a little bit on that.
Well, number one is that now lot of our, smaller products are growing well. We see dependent on the top three products has been significantly coming down, and there was a time when top three products were almost 50%. Today they are just about 30% of sales. So there is a very wide growth, in the number of products which we are doing. So overall, as we are putting more products into the market, growth is also coming from there. So it's an all round growth. Meaning it's from acquiring more customers, and it's also from putting in more products.
Got it. So you're able to sell.
Yeah, hi. I just like to add one thing to what Rahul was saying. Is that it's not just that we're taking market share from someone, but also that the market, the pie is increasing. So, it is it's not so much of a zero-sum game, but the market in totality is increasing. So, as a result, the top line is also increasing.
Got it. And just, sir, a follow-up that the newer products are being sold to the same customers, or we have to expand the base of selling the newer products to different customers?
Right. Some customers use new products. So, yeah, there is a definite overlap, but not all of them. And we have to also need to reach out to new. So, it's a sort of a mixed bag over there.
Got it, sir. Got it. And so lastly, the greenfield 140 crores, could you just quantify if you have a number about how much is going to be the debt and how much is going to be through internal approvals and...
Well, right now we have a financial closure for 120 crores on which we had planned 80 crores debt and 40 crores internal approvals. We have already spent close to about 8 crores on the project as of now. And that's completely from internal accruals.
Thanks, Chitan. So all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivan MS from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Good morning.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. So just one question. I was referring to slide 8 and I was just seeing our revenue-based regional distribution. So there has been significant growth in India and rest of the world for FY22. So could you give some more granular details on this? Where is this growth coming from? Means, are these new accounts that we've got, is deeper penetration with the existing accounts? And would this be mostly value-led growth, or there is a significant volume-led growth here?
The total sales in India have remained at about 25% actually. Last year was also 25%. In the current year also it's 25%. So growth is actually very similar across different markets. But yeah, significant growth has taken place for us basically in the rest of the world markets, where we have seen over 60% growth basically coming from Latin America. That being the area where we have seen a very large amount of growth.
Okay, and this so the Latin American growth was mostly volume-driven?
Volume-driven, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And in totality, from India and ROW, is this volume-driven or value-driven, sir?
It's a combination of both.
Okay.
So volumes have gone up by about 7% and the rest is basically higher pricing.
Okay, sir. Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So my first question is on the veterinary API volume growth. So if you can talk about the same for the last 3 and 5 years. So we have tripled our sales from 80 crore to almost 250 to 60 crore in the last 5 years, and we have doubled in the last 2 years. What was the volume growth over these two periods, 3 year and 5 year?
I am afraid I don't have that number ready at hand.
Okay, maybe if next time you can share that, what is the mix?
Yeah,
on the 6-7% volume growth for this year, do you have this number for FY21 last year? What was the volume growth?
Last year, almost everything was volume growth because there were hardly any price increases. Prices were very stable last year in 21.
Sure, sir. So then that means ke almost 60-70% was the volume growth last year, because that was the sales growth for us.
Yeah.
So just to understand this part, part more, so this year you said obviously with price increasing, there will be reluctance among the customers. But normally, what kind of volume growth do the industry see? Or if not for the price growth this year, like 15-20%, would have our volume growth be much higher?
Yeah, we aim for about 20-25% volume growth every year.
Sure, sir. That helps. The second question is on the poultry side. So you talked about we have done like 6 tons this year. If you can talk about of the respective, so whatever product we are in, what is the roughly tonnage of the market, just to understand where we are and where we can be?
Oh, it's close to about a 300-ton market worldwide.
Of the products we are already in?
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a big growth opportunity.
There is a big opportunity there, yeah.
Sure. That is for now. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, sir, congratulations on the good presentation. It's good to see all the details that has been put up very clearly. It's very helpful. And a couple of questions, sir. One, on the macro tech side, given that we had commercialized the capacity in December itself, and this is more of the intermediates that we'll be doing, do we need approvals of the customer for this also, or why will it be taking 6 months to ramp up?
Well, number one is when it comes to approval of customers, where there is a quality agreement in place, if we have changed the manufacturing process or the site where we are manufacturing it, we have to intimate the customer and obtain the prior approval before we can make the shift. So, and that is with most of the European companies, we have quality agreements. So, I think that is with regard to your first part. And with regard to the second part, why it takes time is because any product which we want to do, we have to first carry out, trial batches. Then we have to, so first it will be a sort of a pilot batch which will be carried out. Then we will do something like 5 batches to see that, whether the yield and the quality is coming out well. Then the product which is made from that will be subjected to stability tests. And only after that can we make the complete shift. So it that whole process takes anything from 6 months to a year, actually.
Okay. So by when do we expect a reasonable utilization from this capacity?
We expect it to start using reasonably well, probably around Q2, Q3 this year.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So on the geographical breakup of our revenue, we see that there's nil revenue from US that we have started getting in recent quarters. Any specific reason for this? Or is this temporary?
What was that? US?
USA. From USA we have started getting some revenues. In this quarter it is nil.
Yeah, because the customer buys only twice a year.
Okay. Okay. So the annual numbers is something that is maintainable, but it is seasonality that has happened in this quarter.
So, for example, his next demand is going to be only in July. So, yeah.
Okay.
That way.
Got it. Okay. And so, some thoughts if you can share on the 5 new products that we have talked about. Is this additional to what we were already doing for the pipeline? Like you had talked about some poultry products that we had in pipeline. Can you tell something more about these?
Yeah, all the 2 products which we had done in poultry, one did not really work out well in the commercial part because there was not much traction which we could get. The Chinese were far better at it. So that product has been dropped by us. The second product is doing pretty well. So we expect that that business to grow by at least something like 100-125% in the current year.
And this 5 molecule in pipeline is additional to these 2 poultry products that we already had in pipeline.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, okay, great. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand S. from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richa Agarwal from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, if you could give some color on, you know, the new molecules that we are getting into, 5 new molecules, what kind of market size or revenue potential is there, and what kind of market share do we aim to capture in these products?
Two of the products which we are getting into now are basically large volume products. So they are commodities. China is the single largest producer for those. We will probably be the first to start manufacturing of those products from India. Those have got a potential of probably around 300 crores worldwide market. We will probably start with, you know, with our aim of doing about 10-15 crores on that product in the first year, and then gradually grow it from there.
Okay. So we'll be starting with 15 crores, but what kind of market share, let's say over 2-3 years, do you expect to command in these products?
We hope to get at least about to a 10-15% market share over a 3-year period, 3-4 year period.
Okay. Thanks. That helps. And all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again, sir. Just one broader question. In the last year or two, how have you seen the competitive landscape change? Do you see more? I mean, we always keep on hearing this China plus one thing. Do you see that playing out for us? How has the competitive intensity been? If you can share a few anecdotes or few examples of how different products things have changed, that would be very helpful.
Yeah. Well, China is by far the single largest producer of veterinary medicines all over the world. They would be outstripping India probably 8-1 or 10-1. And having said that, but there is definitely an interest now where customers are looking at having a sort of a business continuity plan where earlier they were looking at having 2-3 suppliers for any particular product. Now they have brought in a requirement. Some of them have started around thinking that they should have not just 2-3 suppliers, but at least one should be from different country, so that they are not dependent completely on, you know, just one. So there is definitely an opportunity which is coming up because of that. And it's something which we are trying to, opportunity which we are trying to use.
That's fine. The other question on a similar line is, how do you see the competitive intensity change in last 1 or 2 years? Do you see competitors coming up with more and more aggressive pricing behavior, or how is that pricing behavior from different competitors changed? If there is anything that you can share.
Yeah, see, we are in an industrial B2B business, so there is no product where we have a monopoly. There will always be competition all around us. So yes, there is always competition. But having said that, we want to put ourselves as a preferred supplier for our customers, so that the top of mind recall is for NGL rather than somebody else. And that's something which we have been pretty successful in doing, and which is how we have been able to increase sales.
Okay, so last question, if I may just squeeze one final one. So we have the strategy of going for, you know, outsourced sale, which is essentially we are outsourcing some amount of our manufacturing and then we are selling it. So my question is on how do we select these products? And B, when more capacities come in, are we going to bring this production in-house? Is that the strategy that, you know, for the time being, until we have capacities, we outsource, and once capacity come in, we kind of bring in these products in-house for better margins? Or how does this selection
happen? We actually move products which are matured into outsourcing, because any company which is going to do the outsourcing is looking at, regularity in business and more stable work. If they are unable to get that regularity in business, it doesn't work. Plus, you know, there is a lot of time and effort which is invested in terms of ensuring that the plant is capable of doing those kind of reactions which we want. So if we take a short-term view, then it's not something which can work out. So we don't look at insourcing products which are already outsourced.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thanks for this.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in our top five molecules, which constitute 50% of the revenue, what would be our average market share?
In most of them, we are in over a 50% market share.
Okay. Now,
all the five we are in, 50%.
Now, what I'm trying to understand, I think you have already explained it, but just to understand a little bit better, when we say the cost inflation on freight and power, fuel and others, this cost inflation would be similar to our competitors as well, including those in China, or is it like being in India, you are seeing a much higher inflation versus some of the others outside India?
I am unable to see what the price structures for the Chinese companies are. But yeah, it is the same inflation which all other Indian companies are facing. And I guess Chinese also should be having this more or less the same, but I cannot say with authority because I really don't know their cost structures.
Okay. So where I'm coming from is in terms of the passing of this cost to the end customer, so there are two scenarios which I'm just trying to understand. One is either the competitors are not facing similar cost pressure, or as you mentioned that the customer is not is deferring his sales, and probably whenever the new sales happen, this new price will have to be absorbed by the customer. So just trying to understand, is it like the second one is which you are thinking is a larger scenario, that because it's being sales is being deferred, that's why the new prices are not being absorbed, or is it the competitive intensity has increased from probably because of lower cost inflation for the competitors, as a result we are not able to pass on the prices?
We see more a resistance from the customers because they are also unable to pass on price increases to their customers, who are essentially farmers. So it's a cycle which, there is a lot of pushback which takes place. We don't really see it because of an increased competition in the market.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
My question is answered.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. So my next question is on the, if you look at geography, right? So Europe, my understanding is there wasn't much volume growth this year. If you can talk about the reasons for the same, as well as if you can talk about for next 2-3 years, do you think India and say LATAM will be the main growth driver?
See, when we sell to Europe, we are selling to companies which are re-exporting from Europe because our molecules are not really registered in Europe. So, business for them is more or less flat. For us, major growth is coming from the, more of the developing markets. So, West Asia, Latin America, and East Asia. These are the ones which are really growing for us.
And you see the same trend for the next 1-2 years?
Yes.
Sure, sir. My second question is on the product basket which we have. So among the top 10 products, how many of the products do you consider as mature?
Of the top 10, all of them are mature because we have been making them for over 5-6 years now, or even more. Some of the products we are doing for the last 20 years. So almost all of them are mature.
Sure. So my question was, what kind of volume growth do the industry see in these mature products or in for our company?
Penetration of veterinary health is still very shallow all over the world. So if you look at places like Latin America or Africa or even large parts of Asia, there is still a huge amount of penetration required, you know, in terms of primary health available being provided to farm animals. So there's, we would look at least a 20% sort of a volume growth every year for our products.
Even for the mature products, obviously we'll keep introducing new products and the smaller products, the 10 to 20 products will become bigger. But even the base products, you think we can grow like 15% plus?
Last 2 years, we have almost doubled our base products. Yeah, so they are growing well.
Sure, sir. Final question on the top products competitors. So we know we are like greater than 50% in most of these products. If you can talk about the second or third biggest player, will it be like 10-20% kind of market share, or there are some players who will be bigger than those?
No. For some, there are just two or three producers. So if we are at 50, the second one will probably be at about 30%. So the top three ones which you are doing, there are just three producers in the market. All three Indian companies. There is us, there is Sequent, and there is one more company.
Sure. And because we are backward integrated, and because if the market is growing, any reason the other companies are not looking at it, or say China is not, Chinese companies are not looking to enter these products?
I have no clue about whether Chinese are, I mean, they are not there in those kind of chemistry. So we don't see them with similar products in those. And as to why more companies not coming in, meaning it's a ever-changing landscape. So we can have competition coming up at any point of time.
Sure, sir. That is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So just two questions from my side. So I just want to understand in terms of pricing, are we with respect to China or our local competition, how are we pricing our products to be competitive with the market? I understand we are cost efficient versus the others. But in terms of pricing, how are we placed in the market?
In this market, you know, price knowledge is very open for all buyers, because when the buyer sits down, he is going to take offers from all the vendors which he's got. So we have to be price competitive at every point of time and give what prices are prevailing in the market. So it's a price sensitive market completely. Half a dollar and customers can move from one to another.
Right. So let's say we price for 5 to 10% discount to the other guys, so we are able to be selling our volumes.
No, there is prices are normally in a range of 2-3%, not 10%. At 10%, nobody will make money then.
Understood. So secondly, just want to understand with respect to global competition, any sort of duties that China exports are facing in European or US markets or Latin America markets that we are able to gain market share?
I did not understand. What was it? You said China and then you said Latin America. So what was the question here?
Any duties on Chinese exports to other countries with respect to any products that we are also present in?
So whether there is a higher duty on Chinese products or lower duty?
Correct.
No, it's there is no differential duties for China or India.
Got it, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand the peak debt that we'll be comfortable with respect to our balance sheet structure right now. Debt to EBITDA or debt equity, if you can give some color there.
Our net worth is now over 200 crores, so we can definitely take on a debt of up to 100 crores.
Got it. That's all from my side and wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Das for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for joining the Q4 FY22 earnings call. For any further queries, please get in touch with us at Pareto Capital. Thank you.
Thank you, and please have a great day ahead. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of NGL Fincap Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.